The Financial Times guides you through complex issues. In divisive times, don't settle for black and white. When you need the full perspective, turn to FT.com. Become a subscriber today. Search for FT subscription.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 1022. It's the 20th of March, 2018. On the podcast today, I have Graham Lumsden, CEO of Motive Bio, that's MTFB, and Graham explains why they're delaying their new drug application submission for Iclaprim to the US FDA. Also on the podcast, I've got Robin Young, CEO of Ami Minerals, talks about the progress at the company, which has the largest undeveloped nickel sulfide project located immediately adjacent to the three largest nickel-consuming nations of China, Korea, and Japan. Also on the podcast, I have Alan Green, CEO of Brand Communications, talking about Sofian, S-S-P-E, Feedback, F-D-B-K, and STM Group, which is STM. I've also got the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours, and the top five most liked RNSs too.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Graham Lumsden, Chief Executive Officer of Motive Bio, that's MTFB. Graham, thanks for joining me.
You're very welcome, Justin.
Now, you've had a couple of bits of news out, and we'll cover those in a bit. Before we do, Graham, for people listening right now, I've never heard of Motive Bio. Can you explain or summarise what you're all about, please?
Yes, absolutely. Motive Bio is a company with a novel antibiotic called Iclaprim, which is very well differentiated against other antibiotics currently on the market or in development. It targets one of the superbugs called MRSA. And we're in late-stage development, and all being well, we expect to be on the market in 2019 with Iclaprim.
Excellent stuff. And the update today, you've got an update on the NDA submission, and you said it'd be prudent to take additional time. So explain, the whole process here, Graham, and why do you need more time there?
Yeah, so we had indicated that we were hopeful that we would get the all the elements of the NDA, which stands for New Drug Application, mm-hmm. all ready to submit to the FDA by the end of the first quarter, so by the end of March. And we're almost there. Most of the sections are complete. It's a massive document. There are several sections and modules, thousands of pages. They all have to be aligned. There's hyperlinks throughout the documents that link from one place to another, and we were almost there. We're waiting for some additional information from outside providers, and I made the decision yesterday that because you only get one shot on goal here, we obviously want to get the best possible shot on goal, it made no sense to submit a suboptimal application just because we'd said that we would get it done by the end of March. So we're going to take our time, make sure everything lines up, all the T's are crossed, the I's are dotted, and it's the best possible submission. And so it's going to take us a little bit longer. So we've said that it will be done, it will all be completed by the end of the second quarter.
Okay, and I mean, shareholders hate sort of a delay in anything because they start to worry about certain things. But as far as you're concerned, this is just to make sure it's all tip top. Like you say, you have one shot of goal. You don't want to mess it up, do you? You want to make sure you've got your best sort of player kicking the ball, sort of thing. If you could stretch the analogy a little bit, but I mean, so there's no issues here. You're just you're dotting the I's, crossing the T's, and all that stuff, is it?
Correct. There's nothing sinister. There's nothing that we're concerned about. We just need to take a bit more time to optimize our application, and that's clearly the right thing to do for all stakeholders. It's very frustrating for the team because they're so close to having everything lined up and ready to go. We just need to take a little bit more time. As regards the commercial opportunity, no impact because interestingly, if we had been only dependent on patents for our exclusivity in the marketplace, this delay would be eating into our patent life. Mm-hmm. However, because Iclaprim has been designated a qualified infectious disease product by the Food and Drug Administration in the US, our 10 years of market exclusivity is triggered upon approval. Okay. So we still get 10 years, and it will still start from the date of approval.
Okay. Do you have any idea, after when you submit this, how long it will take to get, you know, for the FDA approval?
Yes. Upon submission, the FDA has a 60-day period in which time they review and confirm acceptance, that everything is there that they expect to see. So 60 days after we submit, we'll get an acceptance. And then from that point, because Eclipram, again, is a qualified infectious disease product, we get what's called a priority review, which is a six-month review period. As soon as it's accepted, it's a six-month review period for the FDA to come back to us with a decision.
Okay, marvellous stuff. All right, well, let's move on to a bit of other news as well. They talk about you presenting at upcoming investor and scientific conferences, and, I mean, you're busy and other parts of the company are busy, so take us through this, Graham, if you could.
Yep, well, today in London, our chief medical officer, Dr. David Huang, is presenting at the Superbugs and Superdrugs conference, so that's a great opportunity to showcase the merits of Eclipram in front of a scientific audience. So I'll be hearing from David later today how that's gone. And tomorrow, Wednesday, I'm presenting at the Oppenheimer Healthcare Banking Conference. So excellent opportunity to get more visibility here in the United States with potential investors in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Okay, well, if someone is listening to this, Graham, and they've just heard what you've said and they like the sound of where you're going, explain or give them three reasons why they should add you to their watch list, please, if you could.
Sure. Number one, I think everybody's heard of MRSA and the threat of these superbugs that's worsening on a day-to-day basis. So at Motif Bio, we have a novel antibiotic called Eclipram. It's very well differentiated against all other antibiotics, and it targets MRSA. So this is an opportunity to participate in solving the antibiotic crisis that's looming. Secondly, we're late stage. If everything lines up, we're on track to be able to launch into the market in 2019. And thirdly, there's a compelling unmet need above and beyond just the multi-drug resistance that's developing to antibiotics. And that is, in our first target indication, which is something called acute bacterial skin and skin structure infections, standard of care antibiotic is a very old antibiotic. It's been around since 1958, actually. It's called vancomycin. And in about 10% of patients hospitalized with acute bacterial skin and skin structure infections who receive vancomycin, they develop something called acute kidney injury. That results in higher mortality rates and dramatically increased costs to the hospital. So Eclipram can be a really good alternative to vancomycin in these patients at high risk of developing acute kidney injury.
Yeah, and I suppose it's worth pointing out, you know, for people listening now, also the, you know, apart from the benefits it'll give patients, you know, the economic benefits to the company. So what's the potential here, Graham?
Well, time will tell. We have to get an approval first. We have to get onto the market. We have to do all the heavy lifting in terms of making sure that we're getting access to formularies in hospitals, that infectious disease doctors know all about Eclipram. But a couple of recent antibiotic compounds that have been targeting similar hospital serious life-threatening infections. One is called linezolid and the other is called daptomycin. Both reached peak revenue, annual revenue of over $1 billion. So there's a potential to have an interesting commercial opportunity here with Eclipram.
Yeah, and just, you know, at the moment, of course, Motif Bio standing market cap around about £85 million. So you can see the potential there. Marvellous, Graham, good to chat to you, and hopefully we'll chat again in the not-too-distant future. Thanks very much.
Great, thank you. Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Robin Young, CEO of AMI Minerals. That's AMC ticker. Robin, thanks for joining me.
You're welcome, Justin.
Now, before we get into the progress you're making on your project, let's summarise. What is AMI Minerals all about, please, Robin?
We are the largest undeveloped nickel sulfide deposit located within 750 kilometers of three largest consuming nickel nations in the world. These nations are China, Korea, and Japan. And our product is going to be very useful in the construction and manufacture of batteries for electronic vehicles, mass power storage abilities, and also development of the infrastructure where copper is going to be needed to help recharge all these batteries that will be required.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's a big area, expanding fast, and a very hot sector there. So what do you know about the resource, Robin, so far?
Well, we know that the resource itself contains a million tons of nickel equivalent, 770,000 tons of nickel, and that is very useful. It's the high energy component for the batteries itself. There will also be cobalt included in it, and we also have the copper. Again, that would be for the infrastructure development. Presently, we have 101 million tons defined. We do have preliminary numbers back for the resource update that includes all our drilling from 2017. We'll be releasing a resource update on that in the very near future. And we anticipate a very substantial upgrade to the ore tons and the total contained metal in that as well. And this will allow us to go back to the existing DFS study that we're working on and compiling right now and updating it and providing new numbers that will be audited by an external auditor located in Australia.
Marvelous stuff. And so at the moment, progress, I've seen you've did a road access update. And is there anything else happening at the moment progress-wise?
Yes, the activities continue on our winter ice road. We continue the resupply convoys, and we anticipate within the next couple of weeks we'll have fully resupplied and restocked the site. The work this year is really focused on engineering and designing of the operation. There will be drilling, and that drilling will be to acquire metallurgical samples to also help us do underground designs, open pit designs for engineering rock strengths. We are not targeting the expansion of resources. We believe that after this next upcoming resource update, that we'll have more than enough to cover a 15-year life of mine project and producing some substantially high grades, especially with a 1% nickel equivalent grade that we're seeing right now.
Absolutely. And take us through this BIA plan you've mentioned.
Yes, what we have is a ongoing plan for what we are going to do with the engineering data and the results of PFS studies, any BFS studies, road designs, anything that comes into play. And basically, our BIA plan that we've got rolling forward is we're preparing ourselves to be battery ready, institutional investor ready, as well as Asia ready for moving forward with the project itself as we seek a strategic partner or take this all the way through to a final production decision. Now, the BIA plan itself is for the battery itself. We know we've got nickel and cobalt that are going into batteries. We know we can generate a copper concentrate we have to define specifically, and that goes into the cables that allows everybody to recharge. But the most important thing on the battery component of this being ready is the nickel sulfate itself, because that component, if we can generate substantial quantities of that, can be sold directly to the battery manufacturers themselves, taking out all the middlemen. Now, the institutional side, where we're getting institutional ready, is we have been working with Midea, taking a look at long-term project financing. We've also been taking a look at state-owned enterprises inside of Russia and China that specialize in nickel copper production, manufacturing, battery manufacturing. We're taking a look at financial construction and construction engineering companies that are qualified to work inside of Russia that would give us a better pricing than and competitive pricing to any Russian construction companies or Western companies that we would consider. And then we're also our Asia. We're taking a very strong Asia-centric approach because of our location, with being adjacent to three largest producers and our consumers in the world of Japan, Korea, and China. We know that that's our market, that's our target, and we have been putting together a very strong plan for us to go into China and into South Korea and spend time and in Japan and spend time with various groups and doing company-only focused presentations where we can get our story direct to groups of 10, 15, possibly even 20 people at a time, so that we can begin to advance the project much faster with regard to any of the components, including that of finding a strategic partner.
Yeah, absolutely. Very interesting. And sounds like an exciting space there. We know, you know, the electric vehicle market's going to be massive and only getting bigger over the next 5-10 years. Okay, listen, Robin, if someone's listening to this and likes the sound of your project but are not following the story as yet, please give them three quick reasons why they should hit that follow button on your page on Vox Markets and add you to their watch list, please.
Well, we are the largest undeveloped nickel sulfide deposit in the world, located in the hottest market. The nickel market is also planned to increase by 50% over the next 8 years, further driving the price of the pricing much higher. And we're also located in an area of the world where we have access to people who are very hungry nickel. So we've got a hungry market. We've got a increasing demand in the market through the battery components itself, and we're also looking at various institutions that are now beginning to take interest in us because we are of such a large scale project where we're greater than a million tons of contained nickel and growing with the upcoming release.
Marvelous stuff, Robin. Good to chat to you as always, and hopefully we'll be chatting again in the not too distant future. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Alan Green, the CEO of Brand Communications. You're right, Al.
I think the beast from the east might be on its last legs, Just. So, I'm fine. It's warmed me up a bit. I was in London yesterday. It was freezing. I was at the Master Investor Show at the weekend. It was even colder. So, I'm good, thanks. How are you doing?
Good, yes. Do you know, I see it like the beast from the east. It's almost like we weren't expecting it. It came through and broke the door down and come around the house, woo, chasing us around, woo, chasing up and down, get off, you know, and then we managed to push it back out, sort of, you know, and sort of half fix the door. Then it almost had to come back in again, but the door wasn't properly fixed. And, only for, you know, this time.
It came stampeding back.
Yeah, it did, didn't it? And then we got the door fixed, sorted out, got a proper brand new door in there, and now we're just basically shutting the door. It's still trying to get its hands through the door. We're shutting the door on it, and I'm looking at the temperatures this week, and they are up now, up to double digits. I never thought I'd say 10 degrees is quite hot or warm,
but we're
up to double digits now on Thursday, and looks like it's staying that way, and maybe spring has broken the back of the beast from the east, so hopefully, because I'm away next week. I'm going to Centre Park. It's not a different country, so I wouldn't mind having it, you know, at least, you know, 10 degrees above that, or, you know, on and above, because otherwise it's just not enjoyable going out, is it, you know?
Well, I think if we just get sunshine and a bit of warmth, I mean, at this time you start to get those spring days with sunshine, and it's just the most amazing feeling to have the sun on your face, on your skin for the first time, you know, in however long, you know, unless you've been abroad, of course, over the winter months. Yeah. But that's what I'm looking forward to more than anything, because we had our conservatory taken down at the weekend, and we picked probably the coldest day of the year to do it. So it was absolutely amazing. So we're doing a bit of building work here. So I can't wait for the better weather to come along. Sunshine and warmth. Bring it on.
Marvellous stuff. All right, well, let's move on to stocks, away from weather. The British always So what are you looking at, Al? What are you looking at there?
Okay, three stocks today. Just first of all, I want to look at Sofian. Epicode is SPE, and Sofian provides software and services in the product lifecycle management market. Its most famous software is the Accolade software, which has won awards for 8 years in a row in the consumer goods technology providers area of the industry, and its Accolade Enterprise Innovation Management software also scores consistently highly. But I think it's a quality company with a quality product, and it's expanding rapidly. But this stock has already been a genuine 10-bagger, and this was picked up by Vectorvest, in fact, My colleague, Dr. David Paul, that we've spoken about previously on many occasions, picked this company out in 2016. The stock was trading around 70 pence. And of course, here we are today at nearly £7. So the stock has delivered. But a number of notes have been written on Sofian by Vectorvest since 2016. And every time the stock has gone on to hit the targets that were suggested on the Vectorvest metrics. The most recent one was on January 31st, which was after the trading update that the group provided on the 29th. And the company said that the strong trading and closing weeks of the year, two substantial accolade deals signed, it means that they expect reported revenues for the year of $28 million, up from $23 million last year. EBITDA and pre-tax profits will also be well ahead of market expectations, with a year-end cash position of nearly $10 million versus $4 million last year. So great forward revenue visibility for the coming year. We're in the run-up today to the full year results, which are I think on Thursday this week, which are on March 22nd, so you know, we're right in the sweet spot of that, as it were. But on the 31st of January, the stock was trading at £5.560. And of course, here we are today, and the stock is trading at £6.90, £7. And Vectorvest said at that point, it attributed a current value of £6.46 per share to Sofian, meaning it was undervalued. But in fact, the charting configuration, the target from the pennant charting pattern, indicated a target of £7. So of course, here we are right at the top of the cycle. We've got results in a few days' time. When does a 10 bagger become a 20 bagger, and so on? Is there a reason to keep on buying the stock? You know, and a lot of investors may be put off investing into Sofian at these heady levels, but the company is expanding consistently. It's got great revenue visibility already for next year. And there's every reason to expect that, given the way the company's been managed, given the success of the Accolade software, there's every reason to expect that these levels of growth will continue. It is a genuine slam dunk quality company. As an investor, you may want to wait until the results, but if the results exceed the trading forecast that was delivered at the end of January, they may even rise again. So when is a good time to buy into this stock? When is a good time not to buy into this stock? That's the dilemma I think we're faced with right now. But Sofian, SPE, terrific company, terrific record over the past 2 years. And as I say, this is a stock of which Vectorvest are huge fans of.
Marvellous. Yeah, it's risen very well. It's one of those things that you think, wow, how did I miss out on that one? But
And what's the time to buy in? You know, has it gone too high now? You know, would you wait for the results? Would you wait for the results on the 22nd of March, or would you pile in now on the basis that, given the track record the company's had, it could well push higher on that day too?
Well, I tell you what, right? What a good thing to do is, I mean, always look. You know, get a chart, look out, and look at previous results and compare them. And so, when are the results out? And now, at the moment, they're on the way. We say next week, is it, or what?
This Thursday, 2 days' time.
Well, look at last March when they announced results. It was up to high then, and it pulled back from £5 to about £3.20, £3.20 odd. So, as you can see, when you get a momentum play like this, it's hard to live up to. You know, the results are built in, aren't they? The expectation, you know, is like I said, you know, the journey is the thing, and buy on rumor, sell on fact, and your opportunity will be, I think, a couple of months afterwards, and then you know, it'll start to pick up. People take a profit and all that stuff, and then I'd let it settle down. But always wait for the profits. I think always wait for the announcement. Because you know, jumping in before was a bit of a gamble anyway. But I mean, always wait and read through them. Take your time. Research. It's always time to get in. Like I said, you know, just when you think the stock is never to come back, you may have a global market sell-off and everything comes back, you know, so you never know. There's always opportunity. But yeah, I'd wait for results, I would personally. But anyway, marvellous. What's next, Al?
Okay, Jess, we've spoken about Feedback PLC on yes. several occasions. Yeah. FDBK, of course, is the epic code. Just to recap for listeners, Feedback has a proprietary piece of software called TextRad. TextRad is medical imaging software, and it's been hugely successful around the globe. It's the commercial version has been used by hospitals and societies for analysis of lung, kidney, liver. And what it does, essentially, it analyzes imaging taken from imaging taken from a patient's tumor or condition, and it'll look at the image, and it can help spot conditions that are otherwise invisible to the naked eye. So it assists clinicians in prognosis, early prognosis of patients with tumors and cancers and so on. The other part of the company is CADRAN, which is Cambridge Computer Imaging. They also CADRAN also have a venture with Future Processing in Poland, and it's an archiving service for medical images that are made available online to doctors, surgeons, and clinicians around the world. And these images can be displayed, reviewed online. So, and then, of course, TextRad can be used for the what they call the stratification of clinical diagnostic images for prognosis, risk, and treatment response. So, from this, we have the spin-off, of course, which is, well, I say a spin-off, a version of TextRad is being used under license by Flying Brands and Stonechecker. And that's obviously another company that listeners will be well aware of. But Feedback are the company that own TextRad and own the multitude of potential applications that the company has. And we've seen, I think investors, and I will also declare an interest here, I'm a shareholder in Feedback, will be, I think, somewhat perplexed by the share price performance, given that last November the company announced that it had been awarded its first CE mark for TextRad Lung. And clearly this is a huge step forward for the company. It's a benchmark development. And that development was met with a little more than a blip in the share price, and then the share price has continued to decline from highs of nearly 5p back in March last year. However, the company is now worth just 3.3 million. There is a reason for this, that the former director, Trevor Brown, has been selling down his holding. And Trevor still holds just
Trevor
under
Brown
10.
Selling down. Listen, I've been in contact with Trevor on Twitter, yeah. and he told me why he was doing this. Now, he started buying some back up end of last week. Week before. He went down to 9%, and he had two TR1s that took him back to 11%, because he liked the CEO. He's had a chat with the CEO, the new CEO, David Crabb, and he said, very impressive. He looks like he knows what he needs to do, and that's basically commercialise it, and that's why he's brought it. It's a very small team. And then he started selling down again. And I thought, what's going on, Trevor? And I asked him why. And he said, essentially, they've added another board member. He says, too many board members there. There's six board members who cost money, and they're not aligned with shareholders. So I actually sent David Crabb an email. On LinkedIn, I said, listen, this is why Trevor's selling down. And I have to agree with him, you know. And I said, I've just run a little survey on Twitter, you know. I got like close to 900 responses in a day about, you know, does it put you off investing in a company if the board of directors have no skin in the game, if they own no shares? And 92% of people said yes. And I think you've got to. It's as simple as this. If you knew you could make lots of money in a company and you're running that company, you'd invest in it, you know? And not only that, it underpins confidence in the business. Not only that, when you put your own skin in, your own money in, your hard-earned money, you work harder to make it work, you know? If you paid a sort of salary, a nice salary, and it doesn't matter you keep it ticking along, but you don't work as hard. I mean, you still want the job, yes, you know, you still want it paid, but you don't work as hard if you put your money where your mouth is. And that's why. So I've been in contact with David Crabb and Trevor, as he knows about the situation and why Trevor's selling down. And so hopefully, and he agreed with me. And David said he expressed that to board members. So hopefully, he'll, you know, follow up on this, and he will encourage board of directors to get involved. And if there's a fundraiser anyway, then it obviously, you know, takes some of that as well. So that's the issue. I mean, the business, I think, now is on a turning point here. We've got the new CEO coming in.
Yeah,
and,
absolutely.
Commercialising it. And they've got the CE mark, which is a turning point as well. They've got a lot of interest in the company. So hopefully we will be seeing a turning point. But these people need to have skin in the game. They need to own shares in the company, you know.
They do, and you took the words right out of my mouth. You know, I think Lindsay Melvin, the new FD, and David Crabb will both become significant shareholders in the company going forward. And I also want to mention that there's another guy that's been picking up shares, a guy by the name of Jonathan David Selby Cranston, who's been adding to his holding every time the share price dips off. So clearly a lot of you've got some large investors that see significant value in Feedback at this point, given where the company is, that it has a CE mark to its name, and it's on the verge of nailing a series of further CE marks, which the company's been quite open in talking about. So at this level, I don't think Feedback's ever offered the value that it has done right now. Both in terms of where the company is in relation to potential, but also on the fact, based on the fact that it's on the verge of delivering a whole load of additional value through additional CE marks and further development. So. From a timing standpoint, the most difficult thing, I think, with any investment in a small cap company is to get the timing right. But in terms of timing, I don't think there's any better time to buy into Feedback, given where the price is now, given where the sequence of events that are expected to take place in 2018 are set to occur.
Marvellous stuff. What else? I think it's going to be a change around here this year. We'll see a difference. I think hopefully revenue will go up and all that stuff. So what else are you looking at now?
Okay, well, this was another VectorVest pick last week. It's VectorVest have picked out a number of companies involved in what I call niche areas of the financial services industry. And last week, they picked another company called STM Group PLC. And the epicode is STM, so fairly straightforward there. It's what's called a multi-jurisdictional financial services group, financial services, and it undertakes the administration of overseas pensions for sophisticated clients, qualifying overseas, recognized overseas pension schemes, non-UK pension schemes, and it has a Gibraltar Life Insurance Company, which provides insurance bonds and so on. Again, a trading update in January. We're in the run-up to the full-year results here, so investors may want to look at this and consider investing after the event. But nonetheless, the group's at a very interesting inflection point. Trading update in January, STM said is expected pre-tax profits of not less than $3.8 million. I should say, first of all, that the company is currently worth, has a market cap of $29 million, has traded as high as 62p on the year, as low as 32p, and is currently trading at 50 pence. So this is exactly where VectorVest saw the value. So $3.8 million pre-tax versus $2.8 million last year. And the profits and the results are largely due to the international SIP product launch last year, although this was capped somewhat by some changes in the budget in this regard. But
what is your ticker was? STM, is it?
STM, yeah, that's
cool,
right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Sorry, I missed that. STM, I thought I'm talking then. Cool, okay, yeah, that's it. Sorry.
The company also has recurring annual revenue streams of recurring annual revenue streams make up over 70% of its revenues, and the company announced last month that it had completed the acquisition of Harbour Pensions Limited, which is a Malta-based company. So this company and the way the company is structuring itself, it's streamlining the operations, and it now has, as the CEO says, a great opportunity to improve profit margins further in 2018. And again, going back to the VectorVest metrics, the share price shot up from 35p to 54p in January. It's drifted back to 50p now. The valuation VectorVest currently has, and the charting indication is that the company is worth currently some 65 pence. Clearly, we're in the run up to results. So, if the results, as I said with Sophie, and if the results have improved further still, then it may even tick up further on the day. So, as an investor or a trader, you'd need to decide when to get into this, but But this is a niche finance services operator. It's got a steady revenue stream, and the company's focused now on improving its margin, streamlining its operation, and maximizing returns for investors in the coming years. And I think there's every reason to expect that with the acquisition of Harbour Pensions, the group can step on and deliver a record set of results in 2018.
Marvellous, Al. Thank you for that. And listen, we'll speak next week. In fact, we won't speak next week because I may not be here.
You're in Centre Parks. My word.
Well, maybe. You know, I don't know. Just for security reasons, I may not go. And also, we got two very hungry Rottweilers we keep in the house. We don't feed all week when we're away on holidays. So, you know, if you put your foot in through the door, they'll probably eat you. But also, there's nothing worse than stealing our house anyway.
And you've also got those two Dobermans in, as the first line of defence too. So yeah, if they get past the Dobermans...
And then behind them, we got two Jack Russells, which they're mad. They're the worst. They keep the rest of them in order. You know, so they are the mad ones.
Yeah.
They're psychotic.
Well, we have two crazy Yorkshire Terriers, and that's the thing. With the small dogs, it's like the 4-foot skinhead down the pub, isn't it? You know, covered in tattoos, and come on, I'll take you all on. That's the mentality of a terrier, and it's great.
They literally will. I've seen terriers or small little dogs like that. Small dog attitude, you know, small person attitude. Yeah, they will, won't they? They'll have a go at anything. Doesn't matter how big they are. I've seen them re-bark their heads off a dog's about seven times the size. You're thinking, mate, he'll pick you up and throw you, but, you know, they don't care. It's all attitude with them, and then the big dog just doesn't want to bother because he must be mad trying to pick on me.
what's he picking on me for? Oh god, he's still going strong. No, that's the thing. Terry mentality. Anyway, I'm sure your house will be quite safe, Jasper, but have a great trip anyway.
Okay, it's time for the top five most followed companies on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours. They are at five, President Energy, that's PPC. At four, Trinity Exploration and Production, TRRN. At three, Kemin Resources, that's KEM. At two, Rehoboam Resources, RBD. And number one most followed company on Vox Markets in the last 24 hours was Micro Focus International. Had a big fall yesterday for a big cap. That's MCRO ticker. All right, top five most liked RNSs are as follows. At five, Hurricane Energy, operational update. At four, Rehoboam Resources, result of general meeting, issue of equity and TVR. At three, Strategic Minerals, Redmore Mineral Resource update. At two, Valrix, US patent grant, and therapeutic compound Val 201. And number one, most liked RNS, came from Asia Met Resources. That's ARS, of course, and BKZ Drilling intersects high-grade mineralization. That's it for the podcast. Thanks for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Storm Winifred, I'm delighted that Vox Markets will be joining us at the UK Investor Show on April 21st in London. Top name speakers, Mark Slater, Nigel Ray, Vin Muria, myself, Matt Earle, 130 companies presenting, people you really want to meet. Get a free ticket now. Go to www.ukinvestorshow.com/tickets and use the promotional code VOX, and it'll be sent at once.